All right. I'd like to introduce our next presentation here at the Planet MicroCap Showcase Vancouver in association with Small Cap Discoveries. Now presenting is Brian Keane from Diagen AI.
Thanks, Rob.
Hello, sharks. My name is... That was my icebreaker. And I don't want it to be on the... let's call it the virtual webcast. So my name is Brian Keane. I'm chairman and CEO of Diagen AI. We are a proprietary Gen AI platform and company founded in 2021, focused on drug discovery, diagnostics, vaccine development, with an overall focus on longevity. And so maybe I could just start off by asking the folks that are here in the audience, Are you familiar with the drug discovery process as it once was and as it is today in terms of biotech, and have you invested in the biotech space? I know it's not that prevalent here in Canada, but by show of hands, have you guys, gals, been involved in any type of biotech story or invested? Yeah, okay. And so right now there is a, you know, what I would call, well, first of all, let me get to this. I'm a little rusty here. Forward-looking statements. So things that I'm going to be talking about today are not necessarily anticipate, objective, all those things. Even though we've been around for a while, I'll be talking about some future things that we have on the go in terms of how we're scaling our company. Okay. No problem. So what is the problem? As I just mentioned, most of drug discovery and the process on how drugs come through the clinic have failed over the years. You know, I always ask myself, why hasn't there been a cure, which we've all been affected in one way or another, cancer or rare disease? There's also a regulatory environment that we know here in Canada as far as Health Canada, FDA. A lot of these particular agencies and big pharma don't necessarily in some way want to have an actual cure. They want to be able to sell and develop drugs that have an IP ability and a track record for 20, 30 years. And we know some people in my family and that we're related to that have late stage cancer, right? And they, you know, are spending hundreds and thousands of dollars just to extend their families' lives by 6-7 months, right? And so the timelines that we see in traditional drug discovery are usually 10-15 years. Most of those, in order to find what the next drug target will be or what the remedy should be, takes a hell of a lot of time, right? It also has to take a patient enrollment. And so AI, as we understand it, which has been around for a long time, is going into this space where we're seeing computational math and AI and machine learning as it intersects with the wet lab and sort of the biology and what the traditional researchers are doing, where they have their lab and they've been doing, you know, experiments to figure out. And I always say to when I'm talking to, you know, audiences or potential investors, is a lot of times it's trying to find that needle in the haystack. And what we're doing at Diagen is we're actually building initially those precise, sharp, accurate needles to then go out to partners, either it be big pharma or medium-sized pharma that has been doing it the old way, and advance that front-end part of their business in the drug discovery process. And so as you can see in the last bullet here, in the United States alone, even on the diagnostic space where we actually spend a lot of our time as well, many patients are misdiagnosed. And then those misdiagnosed patients, whether it be for like heart attack detection or what have you, they end up having an adverse event. And when AI comes into the equation where we're enhancing human capability is where our expertise come in, we have the ability to prevent a lot of these things, but also predict and be able to design that perfect needle literally in the vaccine space, but in other genres that we're addressing, to be able to get a lot of that front-end work done using mathematics and computational math so that the drug discovery process in phase two and phase three can actually be de-risked, right? So instead of going through that whole process and having hundreds of millions of dollars raised and nothing happens in the end, because I've been familiar with a lot of companies in that space that never were successful, we're trying to disrupt that side of the business. So, why Diagen? One thing I think that is very, very, and you'll see when my COO arrives, which I think he's in a one-on-one, so he should be here in 5 or 10 minutes, but in terms of why we're being impactful in this space, and specifically because I think there's not any other company that the way we're designing our pathway to not only revenue, but we are on a fast track ability as a private company into the public markets. AI does not stand on its own. All of you in the audience here may or may not be using a version of a large language model like ChatGPT. Just so we're all aware, we were formed and we started working and proving out our model way prior to ChatGPT. And I mention this because from a retail perspective, a lot of folks think that they're an AI expert. And for AI to be able to advance and what we're doing in the space, you need to have some of the best minds. And so what's important for me as an investor when we invested in this deal 3 years ago is understanding the human capability and the ability for us to have a proven track record. So our core nucleus team, which is set up, and I'll get into more detail in terms of the team members and how they impact what we're building, we founded as a core nucleus a company called Extract AI. Extract AI was sold years ago to a company called Patriot One Scientific. That particular proprietary engine that we have was purposed for and solving problems in weapons detection. And that core group, which entails, you'll see on the next slide, a lot of the PhDs that we work with the University of British Columbia. We've also got into a category in DevOps, which is a company some of you may be familiar with called Railtown AI. They are now on their way to the NASDAQ in the U.S., and they've raised significant capital and been able over the years to scale their business to the next level. And then there's a private company that we also funded, and our core nucleus of co-founders took the proprietary platform that we have and applied it to the ESG space, which is a very hot topic these days. And so the team is very crucial on terms of how we advance our platform and how we actually apply it to the verticals that we'll talk about later. And then as you see on this slide, and everyone has a little handout here, which of course you have a QR code that can look at this presentation, the third party validation and the fact that instead of staying and relying and focusing on what many of the companies in our space do, which is the therapeutics bucket, and small molecule discovery, we're doing that now in what I would call a pipeline development play. So we're operating in buckets like vaccine development, diagnostic development, like I said, with a focus on longevity. And we're doing it globally. And my partner, Paolo, and our COO will talk about that shortly. So as I mentioned, and I got a little ahead of myself there, this top bucket here in the therapeutic space, that's what I would call the traditional drug discoverers that are out there that take 10, 15, 20 years and sometimes never find a drug. We are able, given our PhD and our science team, to actually design the molecule on a computer, to dumb it down, using our AI capability to manufacture molecules, peptides, binders, and proteins that are the basis and the structure for future drugs, future vaccines, future diagnostic kits, et cetera. And so we've decided to start in the diagnostic bucket where we have a partnership with TVG that my CEO Paolo will talk about. We have a project going right now in the vaccine development space in what I would call the less regulated space, which is in the animal health space. Next year, the botanical discovery division that we're going to launch is a ability to tie in with our longevity play. People and lower younger generations now want to have natural, non-synthetic medicines. We know that Canada has a massive craze in cannabis and psychedelic advancements, et cetera, et cetera. We think that we can be very impactful in using AI to figure out how we can discover and do that front-end work for those companies that want to partner with us in that lane. So that's something that's going to happen next year post-public. And then we're designing and iterating a form of our proprietary AI that's going to be packaged into a, think of it as a product or a widget that we can actually give to another company to start their AI journey and the applications that they want to use in this space. And of course, this whole tie-in that you see here on the screen, we're going to be doing constantly new joint ventures, potentially entertaining on the other side of go public acquisitions. And of course, when we look at AI as something that is, will definitely be regulated in the future, we know that the regulatory bodies, governments, the NIHs of the world, Health Canada of the world, and different agencies want to give money to emerging companies in form of grants, both hard money and also resources, and we're working on several projects there as well. So let's figure out what's going on here, because I don't think a lot of people understand, you know, how the market is today. We're seeing this phenomenon, which I'm sure everyone here is aware of, the Magnificent Seven largest companies. We have companies like NVIDIA that's investing in companies like ours, even though we're very small, but they're investing in companies that are already public because they want to have the chip makers or their chip makers being used in this AI revolution. And they understand that the biggest application, because is why we were formed 3 years ago, is in this disruptive nature on how drugs and everything that I mentioned will be discovered in the future. Probably many of you know Absci, which was out of Vancouver, Washington. AbCellera was a big darling here out of Vancouver that went public and since has come back in their lane. But what I would like to tell you guys is that every snippet of companies on this slide are focused on small molecule discovery, as is why we branched into these other verticals. We're creating our own pipeline. I want to keep on emphasizing that with you. We want to be diversified and use the Canadian analogy. We want to have those multiple shots on goal. And so this is just a snippet of how I think, you know, we are just in the early innings as a small company, now raising capital at a 9.1 million Canadian pre-money as a private company, which I'll get into later as well. But this gives you an idea of all the activity that's happening over the last several years. And one of the companies that Paolo will get into a little bit too is Frontier IP that you see on the slide here at the top of the page, backed a company called Exscientia. And Exscientia last week was acquired by the company Recursion that I mentioned. And Frontier IP also owns a 4.26% stake in us, and they're a public company out of London. So it's just good to show everyone here today that the things that are happening and the activity in the space is telling us and our team that our application of Gen AI, we're in the right time at the right place to make the most impact. So what about Diagen? We've done a ton of stuff over the last 12 months as I've come in as chairman and CEO. As I mentioned, we first invested and started this company 3.5 years ago. We were on a track to go public in the United States, and because of the capital markets and the downturn and for us to continue to validate not only internally, but having those outside of our partnerships, et cetera, to validate us, gave me an actual reason to jump in and take the chairman and CEO role, because we will need to have capital to satisfy our requirements for our go public later this year, if not the beginning of next. So let's get back into the team. I'll talk to you a little bit about that, because that's crucial for what we put into our AI and what we actually have an output, because it's not so much that we have the proprietary nature of what we're building. Most companies have that. Hello? Is it still good? Okay. Yeah, sorry. It's more about the computational sciences and not just the average user of the ChatGPTs of the world that have built and scaled and exited companies, and this is our fourth. So I didn't talk much about myself. I'm a non-scientist. You may have already been able to tell that. I'm a 25-year capital markets professional that has funded about $2 billion in transactions. I was a seasoned sell-side investment banker. I ran a direct investment fund. But for the last 15 years, I've focused on the Canadian capital markets as a vehicle for us to, you know, support venture-style companies with an ultimate goal to cross it over to the United States. Our two other co-founders, along with our board member, Eric, who's here today, if you want to give a wave, Eric Baum, who helped us seed the deal years ago. We have Dr. Elliot Holtham, who is a postdoctorate and a current PhD under Dr. Eldad Haber. You can look up their backgrounds or read this a bit more, but Dr. Eldad Haber is a current computational science professor at UBC, and Dr. Elliot Holtham obviously was under him and now is, you know, obviously advising and working with our team as various project leads. And Eric, who you'll get to meet, has not only raised hundreds of millions of dollars, being not a capital raiser, but really a corporate strategist and a serial board member. He is my go-to second set of eyes and advisor when I'm looking at a project to invest in. And he initially said that this is the place to be in terms of how drugs will be discovered and forever changed using AI. We have Paolo Lobo, who will step up in a little bit to talk to us about our actually meat on the bone and what we're working on in terms of our initial projects and how we're going to scale to revenue. Andrew Chan is our CFO, obviously, you know, managing and stewarding the capital that we raise. And then Dr. soon-to-be Dr. Mohit Pandey, who is completing his PhD, if you can give a wave, Mohit, has joined us outside of the teaching and classroom today to just say hello to some of the investors that are looking at us. And then, of course, the company that I mentioned earlier, one of our advisors, Neil Crabb, who is the CEO and chairman of Frontier IP, that public company that owns 4% of us. Our advisors, and one thing I'll tell the audience right now, we are looking to expand our board and our advisory board. So if anyone has an idea on someone that can meet both the criteria of a computational specialist or big pharma or someone that is actually in the biological or life sciences would be great, but you can see here we already have a very good advisory team that we've been building. And so let's get into our product. So as I mentioned, the DIA product obviously goes well with our branding. We're going to be continuing to design these molecules and peptides on the front end in terms of molecules that will be going into these various verticals. We're going to innovate and partner with the various partnerships that we have on the go. And then we're going to derive revenue in one bucket by getting upfront payments and then having those upfront payments turn into, think of mining, like a royalty agreement where we actually get milestone payments. And then, of course, if it's a druggable drug or a druggable vaccine or diagnostic kit, near-term revenue. And we're focusing those verticals on not just in human, but we're looking at animal health with our agreement with TVG, but also looking and drilling down to potentially in future applications in pet health, which I think everyone can relate to. Just covered this. We, you know, you can look at it on the QR code, but we're also going to have future services revenue as an AI or a SaaS model using AI. So for those hundreds of companies that are traditional drug discoverers, how they can pay us to help them get into the AI game. And this is just much of the same. What makes us unique, right? So we have the platform. We're only as good as our data sets, and we also are pulling from the project-based partnerships that we're getting into right now. And we want to make sure that that, you know, completes our sort of diversity and our pipeline play, and then obviously having the validation. So this equation works very well for us, and we're not singularly focused on that one bucket of small molecule. So, Paolo, if you want to come up and talk about CDL, and then I'll bring up the rear with where we're at on the capital markets front.
Thanks, Brian. So I thought I'd spend a minute talking about CDL because some people may not be familiar with it. It's a kind of an incubator program where you get to test out what your company does and how successful it would be. You get grilled, basically, by the mentors who have experience in the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation or Microsoft. Or there are different cohorts around the globe. Vancouver, Toronto, Montreal, Seattle, multiple cities of the U.S., actually, Cambridge. We specifically chose the Seattle, CDL Seattle cohort, computational health, because that's the field we're in, but also because the Institute of Protein Design is there in Seattle, and we thought that would be the place to prove ourselves. And it's a very competitive program. Over 50 companies apply. 30 made it in. It's over 8 months, and we were one of the 8 to graduate and make it through to the end and be mentored by some of these great people. I don't know if I have time to talk about. I think what I will talk about is so we can move to some of the actual problems that we can use our platform to take on. One would be in vaccine development or novel vaccine development. With TVG, which is a London-based company in the UK, we're looking to actually go into the animal space only because the regulations are lower there. We can make it to market much quicker. But the concept would apply to human vaccines too, where the idea is to make novel vaccines that would provide long-lasting immunity and not need new strains to be provided to get a new vaccine every year, for example. This is a protein problem that we can take on using our platform. And if you're interested in how we're doing that, you can speak to Mohit when you have time. With UNC, so this is our clinical molecules with actually an anti-cancer peptide that we have developed, and in a test tube does exactly what we say it's going to do. The next step is for it to be tested in a cell or a human cell, and then onwards towards clinical trials. The University of North Carolina and the Structural Genomics Consortium are working with our molecules to try and push that further and prove that it is actually going to work in cells. So we have a pipeline of a whole bunch of different companies that we are working with and just talking with. I'll highlight, because I've talked about some of them already, I'll talk about Dream Photonics, which are a biosensor company, just to show you the breadth of applications of peptides, designed peptides. These would be peptides that are functionalized onto chips that with electronics and photonics can be used to actually make biosensors that are either implantable, ingestible, or could be building sensors. Basically things that can really change the market of diagnostics. I'll pass it back to Brian now. Thank you.
Yeah, so another couple of minutes left. So just to understand what our trajectory is for the market professionals out there, we are RSP and TFSA eligible. We've been supported by Canaccord, Haywood, Ventum, and some other players in the different provinces. We're now offering at a 9.1 pre-money valuation, a 13.5-cent common with a half a warrant at 20. We've raised, as of today, about 1.1 million Canadian of a $1.5 million raise. Unfortunately, that's closing down in the next 6 to 7 days. But you can see the trajectory. Our biggest challenge right now is understanding how we can have the human capital, because AI is so hot. They want to steal guys like Mohit from us, and they want to be able to hire in the Valley and, you know, give them, you know, a very big salary. We need to be able to bring on more, you know, more human talent, right, in order to support all the projects. We think that, and we're targeting revenue for Q1 next year. I'll give you an example, because this deck is not the one that I sent in, but I can, in the QR code, you may be able to see it. Just yesterday, Novartis, for a company that's similarly situated to us, wrote a $65 million upfront payment to that company, invested $20 million into their round, and has $1 billion worth of milestone rewards to that AI for drug discovery company like us. Obviously, I'm not saying that that's us, but to give you the activity that's happened just this month, for your ChatGPT folks out there, OpenAI just invested $30 million in a six-month-old startup. We've been around for 3.5 years. So another problem that we have that's a good problem to have, and for those who want to invest, is because we're raising money at such a low valuation, I have to cut off our round immediately. So not pressure or anything to anyone in the audience, but we are headed to Germany to speak to investors. We got invited to several conferences. We've been supported by the Canada Association of Startups and invited to Dubai, where I'll be speaking October 13th, and we have about 60 meetings set up. And if you don't know about Dubai or if you haven't been there, A, I would say go visit and check it out. B, they're miles ahead of any other country as it pertains to AI, so we want to have a presence there as well. So wanted to thank everyone for your time today. If I don't think I have time for questions, but please do download that QR code so you can get the most recent update. I'll be in at one of the tables, and my team will be floating around. If you have any questions, comments, or if you have an indication that you may want to participate in the round, please do let me know. Thank you.